connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for the web. Computer today.
Computer.
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 NetSurfer Pro.
Hello and welcome to NetSurfer Pro, a whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web. I am your co-host this week, Galen.
And I'm your host, Matthew Marissa.
Oh boy, we're really in the ringer right now. Man, so I've been looking over all the charts. I've been looking over all the sheets. We were really hoping to give you, you know, a really big NetSurfies this year. I've been calling up all my old contacts. I've been trying to see if I can get Ice-T, Ice Cube, Ice Baby from Vanilla Ice.
But not Vanilla Ice himself.
Yes, just Ice Baby. Unfortunately, like, we kind of blew a lot of the budget on last year.
We had a whole red carpet and everything.
Yeah, we paid for extra red carpeting. We didn't even use half of it. We just, you know, we had all of it in, you know, backup. I don't know how they do it in Hollywood, all the big wigs.
They have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that one investor that I thought we had suddenly just left.
Yeah.
Probably like after we shit talked Mountain Dew, they were like, nope, can't have that.
Oh man, that's a good point. Yeah. I guess that is a bad thing if you, you know, I guess, yeah, if you talk shit about advertisers, they're not usually the happiest about it. Wish we could have had any forewarning on that. But, you know, I don't know if we'll be able to do it in real life this year.
Hold on!
Wait a minute. Is that a voice I hear?
I have a plan!
Oh my goodness! Bane? Aren't you supposed to be operating a ride right now?
I think that's the first time you got my job title correct. Good job.
Thank you. I've been practicing for the NetSurfies. I was so excited for it this year.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I, after all, was a guest at the previous one.
Yeah.
Along with many other beloved characters.
Like Cypher from Valorant.
Yes. And Hyper-realistic Mario.
Of course, of course.
All the fan favorites. Some of the fan least favorites.
Yeah. Galen.
Don't be so hard on yourself. Now listen, I have a brand new... You remember the whole sleep experiment thing I had going on back in October?
Oh,
sorry,
yeah.
Housetober?
Yeah, Housetober. That was the part where, you know, you had us locked up, I believe. Water under the bridge now, by the way.
Yeah, so I've been working on a new technology where you could actually broadcast your dreams using the sleeping serum that I've sort of concocted.
Oh, a net space outlaw style.
Yes, exactly. Now, currently the technology is known as dreamcasting. I believe nothing important has ever had that name, so I should be cleared legally, but I'm waiting on my lawyers.
Yeah, I'm going through my mind. I literally can't think of anything that has used that name before, so...
So, I think our best chance here is to, just put you two to sleep, not in a deadly way, but in a very normal way. I've even brought a blanket.
Oh, nice. Awesome. I hope this blanket is, you know, enough to get me asleep. I am famously kind of an insomniac, but, you know, if I'll just cuddle up in this bed here.
Well, I'm a Sody Santa Monica.
True, true.
If only we had a media molecule,
yeah.
Then we would have good dreams.
I think, unfortunately, those got brought into the Embracer Group dreamscape. So, but you know what? Let's just get in this bed here together.
Yes, get into the bed together.
Yep.
While I hook up your brains to my Dreamcaster.
Patent pending.
Don't steal.
All right.
If you steal, I'm going to call you out on Twitter. I mean Blue Sky now.
Yeah, that is where some of the most famous calling out for stealing has been happening, in fact.
Don't,
have you seen...
No spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, of course.
Fall asleep. I'm administering the chemicals.
Oh, wait, there's chemicals involved? Oh, man. I sure do like living here in Neo Tokyo, where all of my precious memories take place, like the 17 children I have, and the... Hang on, wait.
You're in a dream, Smack.
Oh my goodness, I'm being smacked in a dream. Oh, it's in a dream, so you can smack me and I don't actually feel anything. Wow. I saw Inception, I know how all of this works.
Good, yes. Inception is famously a great depiction of actual dreaming.
True.
Okay, so...
Did you know that at the end of the movie, he puts the top up his ass?
So, we welcome you all to the NetSurfies Dream Edition.
Yeah, it's so grand. It's a shame that we can't, like, you know, broadcast visual dream medium, because there's so much happening right now.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's very hard to describe, not because it's like a new sensation, but because it keeps sort of changing.
Yeah, I kind of like look at my hand and sometimes there's seven fingers and sometimes there's as many fingers as there are categories in this particular NetSurfies.
And that is? No cheating.
Surprise number.
Oh, you have surprise fingers.
Yeah.
So, if you're unaware, if you're unfamiliar, the NetSurfies is our annual award ceremony where we give out awards to things we liked this year.
Yeah, it's we've been doing it for, I think, 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be the third annual NetSurfies.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm excited to try this dreamscaping technology. Really, really excited to, you know, make some more dream references. But we'll have time for all those dream references later. Right this second, I think we should get into our first topic.
Yes, our first topic is, of course, trading Ender Pearls from villagers.
True.
Wait a minute.
Hang on a second. Oh, it's the best longest. You misunderstood, because Minecraft is a very long video game.
Right, that's why it's impossible to speedrun.
True. I've literally never seen a single person speedrun Minecraft. Especially not at AGDQ, where they broke a world record.
I've never seen a Minecraft speedrun in my life. That's a lie. I shouldn't lie. I'm sorry. In dreams, it's easier to lie.
Wow.
In your dreams. So, best longest. There's some long shit on the internet.
Yeah.
These are, I think, shorter than some of the previous best longest, but it's what we had.
Yep, we saw some good long this year. We did see, for example, Quentin Reviews' next part of the Nickelodeon, like the over 24 hours of Nickelodeon content, which I believe is now over 30, but that's not on the list this year.
Without further ado, let's get to the nominees. Your nominees are Billiam's Lost Part 2, which is to say the second part of Billiam's retrospective on Lost, covering seasons 2 and 3.
Yes.
The production behind the show, the reception critically and in terms of pop culture to the show, the actors and behind the scenes of the show, the plot and story and themes of the show itself. And also this year there was some discussion about the production side of the show, with a lot of actors speaking up against like difficult, stressful direction and the writers and directors not giving fair time to minorities. And so all of that is included in this video.
Yeah, Billiam does a very good job of contextualizing both at the time and in present.
Mm-hmm.
This is Financial Advice by Dan Olson, also known as Folding Ideas. Unfortunately, you cannot fold ideas in dreams. However, Dan Olson came out the gates swinging again this year, this time with a video over the post-game stock Wall Street bets culture. It's a very interesting deep dive into a kind of sad part of the internet, but also a belligerent part of the internet. It's a confluence of, like, how, you know, people think about business. It's a confluence of actual, you know, business-minded people being able to take advantage of niche communities. It's how, like, conspiracies spread and mutate in an insular community. And it is another follow-up to NFTs and crypto in many ways, at the very least, and how the culture has kind of adapted to it. Yeah, it is an excellent video, as is many of Folding Ideas' videos. Plagiarism and YouTube by H. Bomber Guy. Yes, this was also dropped quite last minute on a lot of people, but in classic H. Bomber Guy fashion, he has made another video where he dives into a very deep topic with just absolute viciousness in so many ways, specifically reserved for James Summerton, although the people that he talks about outside of it certainly don't get away unscathed. We have famously seen internet historian, Illuminati, and who was the last one?
I don't remember. It was somebody who stole an article about Dead Cells.
Right, yes. The IGN guy, like the IGN editor. Yeah. We get three great, you know, micro stories about plagiarism and sort of the complications in actually litigating it versus just sort of socially calling people out. And then, of course, we had the full breakdown of James Somerton, which led to a lot of internet drama that we're not necessarily going to get into, but it was a incredibly interesting dive, as it always is.
The worst PS1 games, or a video about what it means to be the worst PS1 game, by Sean Johnson. Sean Johnson has kind of made a career on YouTube making videos about obscure and oftentimes weird and bad PS1 games, but this one is interesting because he doesn't talk about the most weird ones, or the worst ones. He talks about ones that are commonly considered the worst, but gives them the benefit of the doubt, and often leads to a more productive discussion that takes the games as their own rather than trying to work in years of internet critics and voices. And the winner is...
This is Financial Advice.
Dan Olson does so much phenomenal work. He is sort of one of, I feel like, the premier journalists on the crypto tech bro sphere.
Yeah, Dan Olson, like, is deep into it intentionally, and as such really understands a lot of the psychology behind it, and also really, like, understands how internet culture works and, like, how the algorithms and such kind of have a insularizing and radicalizing effect where, you know, one day any individual part of this grand conspiracy could drop off the face of the earth and it doesn't change anything because the community has simply built a foundation of so many other things.
It's also important to note that all these communities that he's covered, the crypto community in Line Goes Up, the metaverse community in The Metaverse is a Dead Mall, or Future is a Dead Mall?
Yeah, Decentraland and The Metaverse.
And the GameStonk, SuperStonk community in This is Financial Advice. And all of those are communities with a whole lot of jargon that can make it hard for outsiders to understand what's actually going on. And his ability to translate that into layman's terms is very helpful in terms of journalistic, like, utility or function.
Yeah.
It's important work.
Dan Olson, thank you very much for everything.
Thank you for your service.
We are saluting. We're giving you a 20,000 gun salute because it's the Dreamscape and we can do it. It's a silent salute.
Yeah. They all have silencers.
Yeah. Well, hey, that was a great category. Do we have any more in here? I'm just going to rustle through this, but this is also silent. We're not doing any Foley work for this.
Yeah. So next up we have Best Live Stream, which is a category that doesn't get a whole lot of entries because it is kind of hard to make significant live streams.
Yeah.
And I think there's a large amount of live stream stuff that we miss, especially me, the person who watches most of the live streams.
Yeah, I'm a little less on Twitch, as it were.
But that being the case, we do have some nominees here.
And those nominees are?
Generation Loss. The streamer Ranbu brought together a whole lot of streamers in a rented out ghost mall to create a sort of death game miniseries.
The Fingies. Longtime fans of Mike, Jabroni Mike of Vinesauce fame, may know the Finger Family videos that he has done. He hosted an event where fans created their own fan works based off of the lore that they have created around the Finger Family videos, and the one that won was very good.
It's also just absolutely batshit. Some of the most wild fan content that's ever been made. Jerma's House at Flipper Invitational 2. This actually happened very recently. With the release of House Flipper 2, Jerma hosted several streamers and content creators who competed in making houses in a very short amount of time, with such hits as Totally Not McDonald's, The House That Eats You, The Simpsons House with a Puzzle Maze Going Up Into the Sky, and the History of Technology featuring an AI-generated image of George Bush drinking lean.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Honestly, could have talked about this in Housetober.
Yeah, and it gave us Girl Dinner, the new thing.
Nice.
And the winner is... Generation Loss. Generation Loss is, like, I think it is more similar to like one of the Germa event streams in the past.
Yeah.
With more of like a narrative going on than those. It is interesting. It is unique. It has like a very certain vibe to it. They really lean into sort of the kind of liminal horror elements of literally filming in a ghost mall. Like literally, like the stores and restaurants were still in tatters. So it almost feels like an urban exploration video, but of course with like Germa playing a Riddler type game host.
Yeah, it's really interesting to get this kind of content, you know, at the tail end of the whole like liminal space mall, you know, dead mall style inspiration for a lot of horror and or just vibes that got very popular. But at the same time, you know, if you're going to have a dead mall, might as well do something with it.
Exactly. Our next category is best edited content, which sounds similar to best longest because most of it's kind of YouTube videos, but these aren't necessarily long videos.
Yes. Longest is specifically a very long form thing.
Like over 2 hours.
Whereas edited content is just sort of, you know, anything.
That is on YouTube usually, or Nebula.
Nebula would also work, yeah.
Your nominees are...
This is financial advice. I've already covered it, but again, Dan Olson does deserve the credit and the respect for what he has put out. A perfectly normal creepypasta retrospective. Hazel, who was a previous year's not winner of Small Creator because she had reached 100k by the time that we did it, put out a wonderful creepypasta retrospective that if you have not watched, I will say go ahead and watch. It definitely has a lot of ones you haven't heard about. That's all I'll say.
The Misunderstood Mischief of Mario Troll Levels. A video categorizing and cataloging the design of Troll Levels, a subcommunity of Mario Maker 2 level creators that is often misunderstood, often underappreciated, and really hasn't had much sort of critical documentation or critical approaches to it. Until now.
Yeah, there's an artistry to Troll Levels that isn't just, you know, put a block here. Plagiarism and YouTube. That's right, we're plagiarizing ourselves in the previous entry. We have to make an apology video now. I'll get the ukulele. And the winner this year is... Plagiarism and YouTube!
That's right. This is Financial Advice didn't win the two categories. That one won, and Plagiarism and YouTube won the other.
Yes. I honestly kind of wish I could have given this to one of the smaller creators. However, I feel like Plagiarism and YouTube changed a lot and started a lot of conversations, which is something that H-Bomb seems to be quite good at now as somebody with a lot of eyes on them who's also sort of crossed age, like the normie barrier, air quotes. And yeah, it's... I literally advocated for this primarily because I think that it really, like, got a lot of people to sort of wake up on an issue that's very recurring on YouTube.
Also, I have to say, this has gotten me to think about our podcast in I'm going to be better about properly crediting sources in the future.
Yeah.
And I also have to make an apology.
Oh.
In the Guilty Gear Strive episode, I mistakenly claimed that Arc Systems made the 2D JoJo fighting game. That was made by Capcom.
Oh my goodness.
I apologize. Forgive me. I will do better in the future.
I'm throwing the ukulele away. You can't song your way out of that one.
No!
Capcom lost, like, one follower on Twitter because of us.
Oh, that's probably a good thing, though.
Actually, yes.
It was probably a shitty follower anyways.
Yeah. Next up is going to be Small Creator of the Year. Now, you may be asking, hey, aren't you guys small creators? Yes.
I was just a small little creator.
Just a little creator.
In dreams, you can even shrink yourself.
Yeah. Or you can be really big. I'm not actually bigger. I'm just making this voice.
Don't draw fan art. Don't draw fan art of this. Don't draw fan art of this.
I'm actually normal size.
Let's get... Okay. Get back to normal voice size as well.
Okay, you may not have grown. I'm just gonna get back to my normal voice. Okay, I'm back here now.
You may not have grown, but your waveform did.
And the nominees for Small Creator are...
I should clarify, by the way, that we're doing this, we may be small creators, but we want to also promote other small creators.
Yes.
And, you know, on the off chance we maybe get, like, you know, two more followers, then, you know, we'll have more of a history of promoting small creators.
Yes, we wanted to start this early.
We're optimists.
And the nominees this year are...
Will Anderson, are you interested in competitive Scrabble?
No.
You will be once you watch Will Anderson's videos. A Scrabble competitor, commentator, and now historian as he tells the history of famous matches and famous rulings in Scrabble, often doing a great job of setting up narratives between players and explaining how certain plays are made and the mentality behind them.
J.C. Foster. That's right, short-form content is not dead. J.C. Foster is a small creator who likes to make a lot of, like, sub-1 minute, usually even sub-10-second videos that just kind of tell one joke in a very concise way, and they're out of your hair.
They're like micro-sketches.
Yeah, they're... I love TikTok because of its replacement of Vine, and J.C. Foster is clearly somebody who is very good at short-form comedy. Tony Zarrett. Tony Zarrett is possibly the single best satirist of our time, and I'm not fucking joking. He is a creator who has made a lot of content that is essentially cringe content that makes fun of cringe content. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's the best way I could describe him in sort of one word. He makes a lot of content that makes fun of things like woke or general YouTube trends. He is a broad satirist, but a very good one.
That was 8 words, by the way, not 1 word.
Shit.
Zoldim, a video essayist who makes videos mainly about Final Fantasy XIV and Hitman, but has also branched out into other topics, specifically horror games such as Signalis and the many games by the creator Akuma Kira.
Yes. Zoldim has done a lot of great work over some very close to home topics for both of us, and I appreciate a lot of his videos. I appreciate basically all of his videos, in fact. I appreciate him more than you do.
And the winner is...
Tony Zarrett! That's right, it's not going to Zoldim.
It had to be Tony Zarrett, the other person you talked up.
Yeah. Tony Zarrett is, as I said, the greatest satirist of our time, and I'm still not fucking joking. He has his finger on the pulse on the internet in such a specific way, but he is also somebody who clearly is making fun of it in a way that, like, shows a lot of his biases. And I mean that positively. Like, he clearly is targeting a specific kind of, like, terminally online, really into, you know, buzzwordy woke and, you know, cringe gamer style of content.
He also just has, like, some really good bits of tone and style that are unique to him.
Yeah, his delivery is so specific.
It's so dry and intentionally stilted and bad. He also does timers a lot.
Yeah. He uses consistent, like, timer gag.
Yeah, he uses, like, clickbait in the best possible way.
He really does.
Next up is Dumpster Fire of the Year. So, this is the one for the worst thing of the year. And, like, there's a lot of bad in the world. So the things that are bad here are mainly funny bad, or have some sort of air to them beyond just being bad that makes them notable in, like, sort of a comedic way. They're not just, like... It's not evil, it's dumpster fire.
Yeah, if we wanted to go to the bad of 2023, we could go a lot broader. I don't think anyone was happy with this year.
Yeah.
But as far as things that were, well, we can get a sensible chuckle out of as we look back on a year that really didn't treat anyone right.
And the nominees are...
Lord of the Rings Gollum. Lord of the Rings Gollum was a licensed video game that had a rushed development cycle and even more rushed publishing cycle, and as such is half broken, yet strangely competent in certain ways. It has surprisingly good animations sometimes on the faces.
Sometimes.
It has a slightly interesting system where Smeagol or Gollum can kind of argue with themselves, but at the same time, that is not excusing the clear work that needed to be done, not including just glitches and, you know, bugs and things, but also just the game itself being sort of fundamentally broken.
The King Kong video game. I don't even remember the name of it. That's how bad it was.
Control C, Control V, basically.
Blah. And it's similar to the Golem game, where it's another licensed game that came out this year. This time more of like a action adventure game, sort of beat-em-up-y, character action-y, complete with a skill tree. Except the animations are terrible, the cutscenes are terrible, often with just flat images, like superimposed over the game world. It's buggy, there's horrible motion blur effects the whole time, it's unoptimized. The game's just boring, it's not interesting in any way. And the fact that it's so buggy does not help.
Bed Bath & Beyond. Triple B bankruptcy came about this year, where Bed Bath & Beyond declared bankruptcy, which wouldn't be totally notable if it weren't for the fact that BBBY was a big player in the space of Wall Street bets. See, this is financial advice for further details. A lot of people staked a lot of claims on it and saw zero return despite being told multiple times, don't buy this stock, please.
Twitch artistic nudity. Twitch briefly allowed artistic nudity without really clarifying what that means. This meant that people were allowed to draw pinguses as much as they wanted until they got banned because the policy made no sense. And then advertisers started to pull out. And so Twitch, in turn, pulled out of the penis game.
Stellar journalism. 10 out of 10, you're hired.
Thanks. My Life as Inukai-san's Dog. It's a bad anime. Don't watch it.
Don't watch it. You shouldn't even look it up.
Don't look it up.
Hi, my mom and anyone else's mom who's listening to this, if you're a mom, don't look this up.
Don't look it up if you're a human.
Don't look it up if you're a dog, even, honestly.
Cats, then ice.
And the winner this year is... Lord of the Rings Gollum!
It's so rare that such a bad game comes out nowadays that is, like, not just bad, but funny bad and, like, playable in a way.
Yeah. The King Kong video game is more broken and thus kind of, like, gives you the same questions in a more obvious package. Lord of the Rings Gollum is a fundamentally bad idea that they tried to bring to, you know, some kind of clear artistic vision, but because of, I'm willing to bet, again, very short dev cycle and, you know, mismanagement and crunch and just fundamentally broken ideas to begin with, they got out a product that has a lot more wrong with it than anything working, and yet also a couple of nuggets of clear artistic vision.
It's also like, who is asking for a Gollum game?
Yeah.
There's so many other characters in Lord of the Rings you can make games for, like a Gimli game or some of the other dwarves even.
Like, King Kong, at the very least, it's like, yeah, I understand why you would want to be that guy to beat up the dinosaurs. But, like, Gollum is a shitty little guy.
And it just feels so much like a return to the era of bad license games in the best way.
Yeah, this is a very fun bad.
Let it be known that the first of those Gollum Smeagol arguments is over finding a beetle on the ground and Smeagol thinking it's an enemy that wants to kill you. And I don't think it matters who wins the argument.
Nice. I love it.
Yes. All right, we're out of the garbage fire. We can smell now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the garbage fire smelled like anything because we're in a dream and we could make it scentless.
Yeah. In fact, you know what? I've just turned it into a garbage water.
Nice. That's super effective.
I just need a chocolate starfish now, and then I can make a great album.
It's very subjective. Speaking of which, good segue to album of the year. You like music? We like music.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
That's why we have Album of the Year. Your nominees for Album of the Year are 100 Gex, 10,000 Gex. The newest Gex album really sort of pushes the hyperpop brand they have, going into even more ska than before, some like nu metal, some more rock, like pop rock. and one of the most emotionally evocative and angry songs of the year in the form of Billy Knows Jamie, showing that 100 Gex really knows and understands their own sort of capabilities and are willing to surpass them.
I think if we were ranking this by, like, importance, this would probably be the most, like, important or at least well-known one.
Of these, yeah. Zutomayo, Jinko Gaku. It's the newest Zutomayo album, featuring their song that was one of the endings for Chainsaw Man, a song with Mori Calliope guest vocals.
Unfortunately.
And really just more exploration of their style, their complex instrumentation, the confusing lyrics, with elements from like chiptune in this one, as well as a lot more jazz and horns. It's a good time.
Do you think if we could get Iron Mouse on the show, we should talk about Mori Calliope?
Yeah, but if we get Brady and Quinns on the show, we talk about Iron Mouse.
Nice.
Queens of the Stone Age, In Times New Roman. The rock group Queens of the Stone Age, sort of a dad rockish group in some regards, came out with a phenomenal album this year where I just need to point out that every song on it is like a pun. Like there's Emotion Sickness or Paper Machete.
Nice.
Which are great singles and great songs in general. But I kind of love reading the track list.
Joey Valencin Bray, Punk Tactics. Yes, that's right. Joey Valencin Bray, who kind of helped to bring back the Beastie Boys sound. I say helped, worked to bring it back. They're the only ones doing it, I believe. They really understand how that sound can be used and understand what makes that sound work. They work in a lot of really good samples as well, and they finally came out with a whole album of songs, including Punk Tactics and Underground Sound. You should give it a listen.
It has great samples and great production, with some tracks that harken back to even, like, Prodigy. Closure in Moscow, Soft Hell. The, what is it, like, alt-prog, like post-prog band Closure in Moscow, after almost a decade, I feel like, of silence, came back on the scene with Soft Hell, a very solid album that still retains their great vocals and interesting guitar compositions.
It's a good thing that they broke the silence for the album, because just getting an album of silence would suck.
Mm-hmm. Not like we would know, because everything inside this dream has been making noise nonstop.
True. Not that you can hear it. It's, you know, it's only dream noise.
And the winner is... Jinko Gaku by Zutomayo.
What? We chose the Zutomayo album. That's on brand.
Look, I love Zutomayo. They're one of my favorite bands, if not my favorite current band. And this is just, I think, one of their most... maybe their most, like, consistent album, with not really any lows on it and some very high highs.
Yeah.
I only wish that all of the music videos were available on the official channel in America.
Always going to be the case.
Akane, please do this for us. Not even Kira Killer is available in America. Mori Calliope let us down.
Yeah. Mori Calliope should have personally been like, now you better fucking make this available in America, or so help me God, I'm gonna find a horse.
Speaking of horses and also available in America.
Hey!
So, our next category is called Streamable Thing of the Year.
Oh, I thought it was Best Pony.
And what would you like to nominate for Best Pony?
Fluttershy.
Okay, sure. I have no opinion. You know what? I'm gonna say Oleander, because her fireball zoning is really strong.
Nice.
And
nice.
She has one of the easiest combo routes in the game.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like it. Plus two.
Thanks. So, Streamable Thing of the Year, we don't really watch a lot of normal TV and movies, so we kind of decided to squeeze them together here.
Yeah. It's if it is something that, like, you know, came out in person, came out in theaters, but, like, got a lot of traction digitally, or if it's, you know, something that's original to online, obviously, then it can be available for this, and we get to talk about it.
There is one technical thing here that kind of doesn't really fit, but I didn't really know what other category to put it in.
Yeah.
Because it's more of a show than an edited, like, video.
Yeah, but we'll get to that when we get to the nominees, which are...
Ted Lasso, Season 3, the series finale of Ted Lasso, with emotional climaxes, interesting character details revealed, and so many great jokes and bits, leading to a very heartfelt and well-deserved finale. I also love that it has both Father and Son and Fight Test, because those songs were in a lawsuit.
Nice.
The Bear, Season 2. Season 2 of the anxiety-ridden cooking show about a struggling Chicago kitchen left in the dust after the owner passed away, and the owner's brother taking up the mantle of head chef. The Bear is a very interesting show that's very high stress, but often leading to wonderful payoffs of human emotion and relationships. Season 2, even better than Season 1, going further into the sort of revival of the restaurant.
The Amazing Digital Circus's pilot. Yes, The Amazing Digital Circus, which blew the internet up by storm, had its pilot come out this year, which is why it blew the internet up by storm. You've certainly seen a lot of fan art of it. It takes place in a wacky cartoon world where I believe part of the bit is that everybody still feels the cartoon pain. It's kind of a character exploration of a deeply anxious person. It's pretty damn funny. Yeah, it's not surprising that this kind of got picked up by the internet. It very much seems in line with a lot of things the internet would like. I can't wait for everybody to hate this, just like everybody hated Hazbin Hotel, like, 5 months after, because it got popular. But until that point, I think this is pretty good.
Scott Pilgrim Takes Off.
Takes off what?
God damn it.
I've been waiting this entire dream to say that.
Scott Pilgrim Takes Off is a follow-up to the Scott Pilgrim franchise, sort of including talents from the Scott Pilgrim movie and the Scott Pilgrim video game, being the music of Onomatoguchi accentuating it, with the entire cast of the movie, but a story rewritten by author Brian Lee O'Malley and animated by the production studio Science Saru, who you may know from Keep Your Hands Off Eizouken and Ping Pong the Animation. What follows is both a fresh take on Scott Pilgrim and just a beautifully well-animated show.
Barbie. Yes, the Barbie movie is also in this category because while the Barbie movie's release was a really big aspect, it was also a really big streaming event as well. Barbie is a movie that was in a strange place considering the state of the brand and also just the state of corporate media in general, but they went with a really interesting idea, and they, you know, made a bit of a feminist power statement while doing so. Certainly it was a very funny movie, and we will be probably talking about it a little bit later in this dream, but it was a wonderful event to be there for, and it was also just a very good movie.
And the winner is Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. It was hard to tell whether to put this in this category or the next one, because of sort of the specifics of the production and all of that, but at any rate, it is absolutely fantastic. It is a great reapproach, and I think like the like Final Fantasy VII remake style sort of going back is very hotly debated when it comes to these remakes, but I think here it is used to explore the story that has, where the author has changed with time, the story needs to as well.
Yeah, it's very interesting to be able to reappraise your own work and not, like, remake it or undo any of the original, but more just sort of, like, stew in it a little bit more and have a little bit more self-analysis.
It also explores some of the characters a lot more than what was initially given in the movie and comic.
Yep.
So next category is anime of the year. And yeah. I mean, Scott Pilgrim could have been in here because it is an anime.
It's honestly really interesting that, like, it is... It's a fun reversal of, like, Avatar, where, like, technically speaking, this is an anime. It's made by an anime studio, even if it's, like, clearly a little more Western-inspired because of, you know... Like, it's... The original was anime-inspired, but also...
Yeah.
Anyway, anime this year. It sure was a year for anime. It was I actually watched a good amount of these.
Me too.
At your behest.
Yeah, at my behest.
At your behest.
And then you watch more of it by yourself.
I did. I was actually really into anime this year, and I want to watch more from this year.
Such as your nominees for anime of the year. The Eminence in Shadow Season 2. the return of the edgiest motherfucking isekai protagonist.
He's so good.
He's so good. He's so cool. And it goes through some very fun arcs in his continued quest to be the strongest, and everyone else reacting to him as if he is the biggest genius of all time. As if being the key word.
Oshinoko. Oshinoko was an amazing anime this year based off of an amazing manga, which delves directly into the idol industry in Japan in a very no-holds-barred, like, very raw sort of, you know, this is how it really is way. It's also really deeply about social media and, like, being canceled. It's about how, you know, mental health can affect a lot of this and how a lot of this can affect mental health. It's about fame. It's about power. We stay hungry. We devour.
It's both a sort of a teen drama, a murder mystery, a show about the idol industry, a show about the film and movie industry. And also, did I mention it's a murder mystery?
Yeah. If you haven't watched at least the first, like, first episode, which is basically an OVA, do yourself a favor, watch that, and then watch the rest of it.
Pluto, the adaptation of one of Naoki Urasawa's works, a spinoff of an Astro Boy arc retold by the master of suspense Naoki Urasawa, famous for Monster and 20th Century Boys. Pluto is a very interesting take on what is normally viewed as a very cartoony world, instead looking at it completely seriously and very grittily. The story following a police detective robot.
In love with the villainess. Villainess isekai are a bit of a dime a dozen, as far as my understanding.
Yes.
Your female isekai is going to be you're actually the villainess, or you're, you know, the main character in an Anatomia game, and the villainess hates you, and blah, blah, blah. In Love with the Villainess takes that and flips it on its head by having the main character actually be really genuinely in love with the villainess. Oh my goodness. It's a Yuri anime that does not just sort of play, you know, haha light Yuri stuff. It really then begins to delve into actual, like, theory on, like, gender and class and a lot of other things. It talks about it, you know, from a cultural aspect. It's surprisingly based.
It's
and
so based.
It's so based, and on top of that, it's also just really good and really cute.
And really funny.
Yeah, really funny too. The main character is wonderful, and the villainess herself goes through a whole character arc on top of also just being a great, great character to bounce off of the main character. Yeah, wonderful anime, wonderful manga as well. The 100 Girlfriends Who Really, 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 Really Love You.
One of those reallys is like all caps, by the way.
Yeah.
For emphasis.
I could have yelled it, but actually I did yell it, but, you know, there wasn't any voice fluctuation. Because, again, no sound in this dreamscape escapes into the microphone. Yeah, The 100 Girlfriends Who Really Love You, as it is generally shortened to, or just 100 Girlfriends, is a harem manga with the plot exactly on the title. There will be 100 girlfriends, and not only does it, you know, accept that premise and then run with it, it gives you some of the best girls in all of anime and the best man in all of harem anime.
Yes.
Rentaro. The mannest of mans. He loves women, and my god, does he love every individual one of his women. Yeah, it's we have gone on to read the manga, and it is like I'm genuinely up to like 25 or 30 girlfriends, and it does not lose any steam. That man's never forgets any of his girls. Yeah, do yourself a favor again. Lovely series. If you like harem anime, like them to be funny, but also genuinely heartwarming sometimes, this is your best bet.
It also just goes off the rails.
Yeah, yeah, it goes off the fucking chains. There's a world-ending style event at one point in the manga, so...
And that's like chapter 15.
Yeah.
I think it's in the anime by now. Maybe not. It might not be in the anime, but it might be close to being in the anime. Maybe like season two. Jinx. Frieren, Beyond Journey's End. A deeply emotional and sorrowful story about an elf who traveled with a party of adventurers, but has since outlived them all, watching them all grow old and even dying without realizing it. upon the death of the, like, hero of this adventuring party, she starts to realize how much she's missed simply by taking for granted the lives of others, and goes on a long journey of self-reflection where she eventually takes up two apprentices, learning to love herself and others and the little things. It made me cry. And the winner is... Oshinoko.
Yeah, Oshinoko is so fucking good. It's so good.
Yeah, it's like, it does so many different things, but also does them really well. It's like, the moments that depict the internet are always so accurate.
Yeah.
There is like an episode where a character gets canceled, essentially. Yeah. But for something that she didn't really do. And it depicts the like internet trolls and the people on the internet so very realistically, but then like further explores everything going on. The characters are all great. Kana Arima, best character, don't at me.
She's the red hair one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's the most normal character, and as such, she like bounces off and really shows a lot about the world and the other characters. There's a supernatural element to this show that I literally forgot to mention because it's so like, it's both the foundational point of the entire show and also something you can easily forget.
There's so many balls being juggled by the show and it never drops.
Yeah, it's amazing. Speaking of things that are amazing, though, there were a few shocks this year. And I'm not talking about shock collars.
Why would you be?
I don't know. I just kind of occasionally need to say that I'm not talking about things. And I'm not talking about overthrowing the government.
So, surprise of the year is the biggest surprise of the year. I feel like it's not that complicated of a concept.
Yeah.
Things that nobody expected. And your nominees are... City SC, first in the league, baby!
Baby!
The first year of St. Louis City Soccer Club, they got first in the league, and then they lost in the first round of the playoffs. But that's not important. What's important is they did the impossible. Everyone expected them to be, like, bottom four in the league on their premier season. But they got first in the league.
Hell yeah. If you're not from St. Louis, you might not care about this as much, but god damn it, St. Louis sports, we got some good fucking sports teams.
Well, historically.
Yeah.
I mean, Cards have been kind of in a slump for a while, and Blues are okay. But we got the soccer team now, and when St. Louis shows up for sports, we show up.
We show up.
City SC is huge now here. Fesh Pints 3. The... threequel to one of the most popular YouTube poops of all time, I might say.
I think that's fair. It's not even hard to argue that much. Probably the.
I think Wow It's Made might be more popular.
Yeah, Wow It's Made or like one of the early like Pingus ones.
Maybe. I think like one of the Things videos is probably more popular.
True. However, Fesh Pints is still exceedingly popular.
Yes, Fesh Pints is exceedingly popular. And Fesh Pints 3... after a long amount of a very, very long hiatus from Krobo Productions, the creator, comes out with part one of X of Fesh Pints 3, and it's still as funny as ever. Still just some classic good YouTube poops.
Yep. Wa Peach. This is a Waluigi and Wario version of Peach that was going to be introduced in N64 Mario Tennis. Ended up not being introduced in Mario Tennis, but art of her kind of blew up on the internet a little bit, and we got a lot of fan art. It was similar in style. I've made the comparison to Bowsette, of course, but in this case, it was more people really latching onto a adorable design and running with it. I think that there was a similar thing. I would honestly argue it's probably a little closer to like when people made Eggman's like niece. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we love to see a good art meme, and we also love to see obscure characters kind of plucked out of obscurity.
With like Wario and Waluigi being the popular characters they are,
yep.
It's no surprise that a Wapeach would be popular purely by concept, and the fact that one was going to exist is such a shame that it never was fully realized.
Yeah. The System Shock remake was actually good. System Shock 1 is a little less famous than System Shock 2, the foundational game to the in-sim genre. However, System Shock 1 was still exceedingly foundational in its own right, and the remake by Night Dive Studios, who have done a lot, they are a long-standing company, was actually very good, very well received. It had every reason to kind of make a lot of mistakes, but they just didn't, and they tweaked things that didn't work while still keeping true to a lot of the core. Yeah, I'm very happy for them, and I wish them future success, because you know what? I think they deserve it. Peter Griffin Fortnite. Fortnite, Peter Griffin. Griffin Peter does the shaky floss dance. He do the funny Fortnite Battle Royale. You have the build or the no build, and you can shoot a gun, and there's a Peter Griffin there. He has a suit, and he is strong muscle man, Peter Griffin.
You're do so the right. Bird. And the winner is...
Fesh Pence 3!
Would you make me a sandwich?
Hey, G, would you make me a sandwich?
No. So, I think, like, YouTube Poops... Like, it's still a pretty active community. A lot of people think YouTube Hoops are completely dead, but there are active creators. But, like, the return of one of the goats is always good. And Fesh Pince 3 being Fesh Pince already carried a lot of weight with it. But, like, I think more... I'm just glad that people who make things are still making things.
Yeah.
You know, there's something comforting about that. Like, hey, they're doing all right. They're still making stuff.
Yeah, it's very nice to see that, you know, oh, you're like 40 and have have two kids, but you're still making shit posts. Nice. And yeah, like you said, Fesh Pence is incredibly popular YouTube poop. And 3 really does just kind of continue it. It's like he didn't sell out. Always hate it. I hate in all those da things ones where it has to stop, you know, for 30 entire minutes where they do an ad for War Thunder.
Yeah, it's not like the first Fesh Pince didn't have an ad for 5 hour energy.
Yeah.
Or two 5 hour energy ads, which is 10 hour energy. Speaking of shitposts.
Speaking of shitposting, yeah, so we did a whole bracket again this year for Meme of the Year, as is now a tradition. So we're just going to very briefly talk about a couple of them. We've done the whole bracket. So Barbenheimer, for example, was this year. Really big cultural touchstone moments of, you know, very similar to Doom Crossing. We also had How Often Do You Think of the Roman Empire?
Which was a very popular meme amongst sort of the normie crowd, if you will. I hate saying normie, but like I don't know how else to describe people who are not internet irony poisoned.
Yeah, people who are not terminally online.
Yeah. There was, of course, J-Eazy Mega Man, the meme song, or one of the meme songs of the year, with absolutely rancid, wretched lines, but a fantastic advertisement.
Yes.
Dracula Flow, some of the best wordplay I've ever heard in my life, and it's this guy talking about how he's him.
Yeah. However, but there could only be one winner this year.
There could only be one winner.
And there could only ever be one winner this year. It's the one, the only. Skibbity Toilet. We actually have Skibbity Toilet with us here, but again, unfortunately, you cannot hear him. He's doing the funny dance and the song. His head is, like, spinning, and he's making, like, you know, funny Gmod faces.
Hey, this is Ben talking to you from Waking Life.
Oh, my goodness. It's so strange.
This is producer Sleep Dr. Brain.
Producer Sleep Dr. Brain. It's so nice to talk to you.
That's Brain.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Producer Sleep Dr. Brain.
Dr. Brain was my mother. That's canon now. I just wanted to say I didn't get the licensing for any of the music used in Skibbity Toilet. And granted, while the Fuck Boom didn't either, I mean, I don't want to get sued.
Oh, yeah, you should probably mute that.
I talk to my lawyers very frequently. All right, now enjoy the Dreamcaster.
Thank you. What a nice guy. Well, so unfortunately, you now even we can't hear Skibbity Toilet. However, Skibbity Toilet was Meme of the Year. It kind of just had to be. It's definitely the most us Meme of the Year. Like, it crossed generational boundaries. It brought back a lot of old memes, or, you know, old styles of memes in a very fun way. It added to the Finger Family cast.
It's
all positive things.
It's hard to state, like, how big Skibbity Toilet got. But also just, like, it did so naturally.
Yeah.
This is just somebody who's been making Gmod in Source Filmmaker stuff for years, making a dumb series that picked up and became huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of it's like a very pure sort of viral video style of becoming an internet meme.
It's also one of the few times where the kids and the people who normally think kids are cringe were actually kind of in agreement.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody who ended up watching Skibidi Toilet, a lot of like, you know, millennial streamers and stuff, ended up essentially going like, yo, this kind of slaps. This is really good. Yeah, Skibidi Toilet, thank you so much for your service. I'm just going to pat you on your... Oh, geez, I accidentally flushed him. I think that's how they die? You know, the lore isn't kind of hard to say. Yeah, it's kind of a...
They might come back to life. It's really unclear at this current point. I'm also not entirely caught up. You know what I am caught up with, though? So, on my stream on twitch.tv/twack, I do a bit called the Weekly Shonen Jump Jump, where I talk about the newest manga in Weekly Shonen Jump.
Yes.
Mainly because they put all their manga online for free for the first three chapters and most recent three chapters. And I think that's really cool from a industry that normally has kind of had a tenuous relationship with the West in general, but also like an industry that normally people have to resort to reading unlicensed fan translations.
Yeah.
They kind of did the Gabe Newell thing of realizing that piracy is a service issue.
Yes.
And so they're making it pretty readily available. And so I read as much as I can from Weekly Shonen Jump and talk about it. But they tend to go through series fairly quickly as they try to get only the best of the best to stay in their magazine, such as Nue's Exorcist. But, however, that means that there's always a bunch of new manga every year. Seems like they add one or two every month. So, of course, this is Matthew Marissa's yearly, monthly, weekly Shonen Jump, 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 Jump.
Nice.
Where I say my favorite new manga that premiered this year in Weekly Shonen Jump. And that is Martial Master Asumi, a manga about MMA that views it as a sport and not a representative of manga battles, which is to say that, like, the characters fight in the ring, but that doesn't mean they're, like, monsters outside of the ring.
Yeah.
They're people who enjoy combat sports and participate in it for friendly competition, and their relationships might be difficult because of that, but they're not outright villainous. It feels very realistic, or at least, like, more humane the way it's written here compared to something like Grapple or Baki, where it's just like manga characters that still fight in...
It's giant personalities having big anime fights.
Yeah. Also, you can tell the author really likes combat sports because the fight scenes are all rendered beautifully with attention to things like joints and like locks and hold positions. It talks about the strategy of MMA, the history of MMA, sort of what goes on during the fights, what's illegal and what's legal. So it's very interesting and sort of educative in a way that a good sports series is.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, I have actually also read manga this year, mostly based off of the stuff that the anime was really good, and thus I read ahead in the manga. If you asked me to choose one, I would probably say I'm in love with the villainess, although... I'm in love with the villainess. And you know what? I'm in love with that joke. So I'm in love with the villainess. I'm also in love with 100 girlfriends who really, really, really love you.
Do you really, 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 really love it?
I would say I really, 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 really love it.
Nice. You got the stress there.
Nice.
So we're going into our final two categories, which actually, yeah, let's go into our final two categories here.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to pull out the big bin of categories real quick and just pull out. All right. We've got first one here. It's Indie Game of the Year.
Yes. Our favorite independent games made by small studios, which means Dave the Diver is not on this list.
True.
Because we didn't play it.
Yeah.
But also because it's Maxon. Yeah. Come on.
It's not indie.
Even the Game Awards were like, wait a minute, we shouldn't have put this on here. And they took it off the list of Indie Game of the Year.
Yeah. Indie game is not a moniker of a style. It is a descriptor of the resources available to a person.
Yes. Or a
group of people, yes. And the group of nominees this year are Slide to Unlock. Kind of in the vein of, very similar to the Password game, this is a game that uses your phone and starts off with just sliding to the left to unlock. But then, you know, the puzzle ends up being that the slides that you have to do to unlock become stranger, and you have to use multiple fingers and thus have to reposition your phone in multiple different ways. It uses the physicality of the device in such an incredibly interesting way that has really helped broaden my thinking on how you can make a game.
It's like playing Twister with yourself.
Yeah.
Slayer's X, the one of the best characters in Hypnospace Outlaw, yeah, was a kid named Zane Rocks who loved Linkin Park, except it wasn't Linkin Park. And he had his own comic, his own webcomic about how cool and edgy he was. Well, this is him as an adult making a video game. It's a boomer shooter in that it's a retro style shooter, but with a very, like, original Duke Nukem tone.
Yeah.
Combined with a lot of, like, in-your-face edginess you might expect from, like, a troll fic.
Yeah.
It's like if Shadow the Hedgehog was first person.
Shoutouts to the graphics as well, which are, like, early 3D pre-rendered CGI style. Real fun tone setter. Pizza Tower. It's a tower of pizza. Pepino,
it's not what it is.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, Pizza Tower kind of took the internet by storm. It's basically just Wario Land's gameplay, but on a funny Italian man named Peppino Spaghetti. A very unfortunate name. It is quite funny. Very good at, like, showing humor in the game through animations and just general gameplay. Has fucking excellent music. And it also came out around the same time as Anton Hand, and they kind of cross-promoted each other, which was very fun.
By being very gay.
Yep, exceedingly gay.
It was great. Bomb Rush Cyberfunk. From the creators of Lethal League, a very, let's say, it's reminiscent of a certain, like, Sega console, but I can't think of the name of it. It's not Saturn.
It's but it's 3D. Like, Saturn and the one that they put out in, like, 2017?
Yeah. So they made a sport fighting game, but then this, it's not quite a spin-off of that. It has characters making guest appearances, but they're not the same character. But this is a sports skating game related to street art, in which you skate around different locations, tag buildings, get into fights. No one dies. Do tricks, do combos. It's a new independent skating game with a very specific cel-shaded look and feel and tone and great music.
Lethal Company. Yes, Lethal Company, the new Among Us. It was a game that was created by, like, one guy. It was supposed to be just this tiny little project that he put out, and then suddenly it turns out it was a really good concept done pretty damn competently, and a whole bunch of people started playing it. Genuinely, it, like, I make jokes about it, but it very much is a similar story to Among Us. However, I would not at all say it doesn't deserve it. Lethal Company is very funny, a little bit scary, but also just a very fun time with friends. You get to hear a lot of fun screams.
It's like a cooperative immersive sim, in some ways.
In some ways, it sure
is. I think it's pretty immersive sim.
I don't think it's really like an immersive sim.
I think it is. Anyways, the password game. You know when, like, you're putting in your password to make an account for something, and it's like, you have to use three special characters and four numbers? What if you take that to the extreme? What starts off being a seemingly normal password entry field gets more and more requirements that start to get really weird, such as including Roman numerals, including atomic, like, symbols.
Yeah.
Solving Wordle. Finding a location on GeoGuessr, feeding the chicken.
Yeah, getting an egg that you have to take care of.
Yeah. Don't let it die.
Having to put out a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful game of chaos and gradually unfolding nonsense.
And the nominees this year, who has won,
are the password game.
Yeah, it's so incredibly clever.
Sorry, Pizza Tower. Pizza Tower fans, do not threaten us. I think, like, all the other games are great, but Password Game is one of those games that does something so weird and different that it feels like an accident.
Yeah, it's very similar to Slide to Unlock. It uses, you know, something that we all kind of have experience with and take for granted on the internet, and just sort of twists it and goes, you know, what if we did this in a more extreme fashion? And so, like, yeah, including things like GeoGuessr and Wordle means that, you know, you always will have to, you always have to, like, have some kind of unique new password.
It's weirdly proc-gen in that regard.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's a weird puzzle. It has, like, trivia information added.
Yeah.
It's a culmination and has references to a lot of other popular internet games like Wordle and GeoGuessr. It uses emoji in an interesting way. It's not just, look, emoji, that's funny, laugh.
Yeah.
It's like the emoji is a mechanic. You have to input the current phase of the moon as emoji.
Yeah.
And all of that is in the guise of a relatable stand-up comedy bit.
Yeah, yeah. It also has one of the best 1-2 punches of an ending. Mm-hmm. As well, which I won't spoil, because funnily enough, I can spoil it. But yeah, no, the password game, if it sounds fun, it is free and you can Google it easily. Every other game that is on here is worth your time as well, especially Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. I haven't played it, but god do I fucking want
especially
to.
Especially Lethal Company.
Especially Lethal Company, it. Actually, yes. But yeah, no, the password game, just such an excellent concept.
And now we go into Game of the Year, which is sort of like AA/AAA Game of the Year.
Yep. It's this is where the bigger games go, obviously. We have the smaller ones and then the bigger ones. And there's going to be some obvious picks here, but, you know, we still like a lot of these games and want to talk about them.
Your nominees for Game of the Year are...
The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I am, quite famously, the one of us two who likes Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and my god, Tears of the Kingdom is just Breath of the Wild, but with more. It's a cool Banjo-Kazooie mod on Breath of the Wild, on top of a new map for Breath of the Wild.
Well, Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
Let's be specific here. Specifically, it's Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts in Breath of the Wild, with an entire underground area and a whole bunch of upper ground areas, overground areas. Yeah, it's lovely to be back in the Breath of the Wild world. It's lovely to see the characters again. We got a new Pura design, which is wonderful. We got Link again. He's just great. I like him. Link's cool. I like Link. He's a pretty cool guy.
He gets and doesn't afraid of anything.
True.
Hi-Fi Rush. A rhythm character action game? In the same vein as Crypt of the Necrodancer, you can only move on beat, but boy, those beats sure are. It's a game where you fight enemies like robots using a guitar, and it has like combo chains and stuff, and you even get ranked from like D to S, you know, like another famous character action game. It is also accompanied by bits of 3D platforming that feels very PS2 inspired, very like Ratchet and Clank at times almost. It also has great writing that is like the best Saturday morning cartoon you could find, with great jokes and a lot of tropes that are played completely straight, but in a very fun and delightful way. It has fantastic boss fights, which again are set to music, and just a very enjoyable world presented via a cel-shaded cartoon style.
Hi-Fi Rush makes me really excited that we're kind of finally getting the like PS2 style inspired gameplay, you know, from a lot of like AA and other creators.
We love Katamari Rerolled. It's a remake of the second Katamari game, which is often considered the best by fans. I might be a little biased. Where now that you have already repaired the cosmos, it is now your job to attend to the whims of fans of Katamari in a weirdly, weirdly introspective Katamari game. It explores the King of All Cosmos more than the first game, turning him into an actual character, all through the weird, offbeat, and just delightful world of Katamari, where you roll up nonsense into a ball.
Which is actually currently happening. We are currently on a Katamari. Again, you couldn't tell. This happened like a couple entries ago. You just couldn't tell because, you know, dreams.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 6. Street Fighter 6 surprised a lot of people by having a single player campaign that was actually quite fleshed out and allowed you to interact with a lot of characters in fun ways. But Street Fighter 6 is also a fighting game that has picked up traction in its own right as well, introducing a lot of soon-to-be-beloved characters like Luke, or, oh god, what's his name? The really fucking fancy guy?
Oh, are you talking about JP?
I think it's JP, yeah.
The Zoner.
Yep, but also a lot of returning favorites, and from my understanding, a lot of Street Fighter fans are quite happy with how it is, while also kind of helping to get new fans in with a very interesting mode.
Mm-hmm. As well as new accessibility options, with the biggest being the sort of beginner-friendly mode of controls.
Yes.
Simple controls.
Baldur's Gate 3. My goodness, the thing that won the Game Awards is on our list as well? It's almost like we play D&D too. Yeah, Baldur's Gate 3 is an amazing video game that kind of did the impossible in translating a whole D&D campaign to a video game. It has a whole bunch of content, a bunch of wonderful characters, a lot of ways you can play, and it's also a game that's really, really willing to give you the freedom to just kind of like, for example, have a kill everyone run, or, you know, be evil in fun and creative ways, or be good in fun and creative ways. It's, again, it's basically just a DM who meticulously planned out an entire video game for you. Have fun.
You can stack boxes and jump on them.
Nice. Thus, it's an imsim.
Yeah, exactly. Pikmin 4, the fourth game in the beloved cult hit Pikmin franchise. Pikmin 4 really expands the scope of what Pikmin can be, including nighttime levels, which are sort of boss enemy rush survival modes, and most importantly and most interestingly, two-player competitive versus mode.
Which is so interesting.
For what is already one of the most interesting RTS games in history, now to have a competitive mode as well as a very, very good single-player campaign, it is just wonderful. I love Pikmin, and I love the Bulborb.
I will forever Pikmin.
Mm-hmm.
And your winner this year for Game of the Year 2023 is
Hi-Fi Rush. That's right, we didn't choose Baldur's Gate.
Yep, get fucked, Baldur's Gate. I hope that John Baldur's Gate himself is crying.
So I feel like I have to sort of defend this pick here. Baldur's Gate 3 is extremely good, but it's hard to really, like, it's good, but it almost feels empty at times to me. Like, it is good as a D&D campaign in video game format with all the freedom that brings, and it has great characters and great writing, great voice acting to bring those characters to life. Everything about it is great, but it feels like it's missing some element of soul.
I have not played enough Baldur's Gate 3 to agree or disagree, but what I will say is that Baldur's Gate 3, while I'm, like, not about to sit here and say, like, it was made by, you know, not struggling devs or anything, like, it was established people, but they had been struggling for a while, and this was kind of a Hail Mary. Like, I'm not going to say that they, you know, don't deserve all of the praise and acclaim they've gotten. However, while Baldur's Gate 3 was made by a established dev who has already gotten, you know, a lot of acclaim, and was made by people who specifically were in that genre to begin with, Tango Gameworks is a little less acclaimed. Like, they're, you know, they've been around since 2010, and they've made The Evil Within, which I literally just learned in the previous take of this. But they also made Ghostwire Tokyo, which is the closest thing to this. It has a similar, like, strange PS2-y vibe to it, having played it. But this was still very much, like, a swing out into an entirely new genre that, like, they didn't have a lot of specific, like, guidance for. And yet they still made an incredible video game that is very innovative, very fun, very funny, like you
right.
said.
It's not just, like, a genre they're not as experienced with or not as proven with, but it's rhythm action, which is a very new genre that's, like, still really being developed beyond Bit Trip Runner and Crypto the Necrodancer.
Yeah. Certainly hadn't been developed in, like, you know, 3D action platformer beat-em-up style gameplay. Yeah.
It has the way I think I could describe it is, like, you can go to a fancy restaurant and order the best, like, ribeye steak, but the taco truck hits different.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, BG3 deserves every bit of acclaim it gets. It's a wonderful video game, but Hi-Fi Rush, I think, is more deserving of our award.
Hi-Fi Rush was sort of an ego Ratatouille moment.
Yeah.
For me, at least.
Yeah. This was honestly a really good year for games in general, I would say. There were just a lot of fucking great hitters, a lot of newcomers to the scene. And I'm still kind of excited. 2023 was kind of a downer year for me, but I'm excited as far as, like, you know, what the future holds in as far as, like, video games and creators and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of sort of 2023, I have, for me, this box that appeared here.
Oh, that
this, it says to box. Open at end of year. I feel like I've been tucking this away in, like, my subconscious. Let's see.
Oh, it's like Psychonauts.
Actually, it's exactly like Psychonauts. We, of course, have my emotional baggage, which, wait a minute, this is all podcast stuff.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, wait, no, never mind. It's the Net Surfer Wrapped.
Oh, I get it. Like, you wrap a present.
This
around
year.
Around Christmas time.
This year, for your Net Surfer Wrapped, Net Surfer Pro did episodes on games 7 times. 5 episodes on albums. Despite being the year of the album, most of the episodes were on games. However, note that if you were to include 2-parters, it would actually only be a 1-episode difference because there is 1 video game 2-parter and 2 album 2-parters.
Nice.
4 Talk Surfers, which is a record low since Talk Surfers were invented to pad out episode content. 1 episode on a book, 1 episode on a movie, an episode on pinball, which is debatably a talk surfer, but debatably not, and an episode on Mountain Dew, which cannot be categorized.
But is probably our best episode.
There was, I think, only 1 new character introduced?
No. Photorealistic Mario was 2022. Suffer from Valorant is older than that.
Yeah. I think it's just the intern.
Yeah, it's just
which
the intern.
I don't know if I actually included in any of the episodes or if I completely cut out the intern.
That would be just like the intern, huh?
Just like the intern to get his work cut out.
Yeah, he's such a new character. He isn't even in our subconscious right now.
I know, like, that's how weird it is.
But, you know,
do you want me to call the intern? I could get him over here.
No, although if you could call Hyperrealistic Mario and Cypher from Valorant, they were supposed to be here for the Net Surfies. And then they never showed up. You know, I sent them a nice invitation and everything. You know, it feels real bad.
Stop this. Stop this business. I own this podcast. I did not authorize you to do this.
Oh my goodness. It's you. The guy who owns our pod, the producer.
You better remember my name.
Yeah, it's the producer.
It's Johnny Michaels Michaels.
Right, Johnny Michaels Michaels. Sorry.
And I did not authorize this. What even is this?
Oh.
Are you getting tested for sleep apnea?
No. So this is actually the Dreamcaster. It's an invention by Bane.
Greetings.
Yeah, do you two know each other? I assume you two do.
I mean, we've, like, seen each other at the, crime balls that I definitely don't go to. I don't do crime.
Oh, interesting.
I only do blue-collar crime.
Oh, that's so strange. I would expect you to do white-collar crime.
Which is to say, I only destroy pipes in people's basements.
Wow, that really is one of the most heinous crimes.
I also buy out cable networks and remove all the good shows from them.
You bastard. Is that your ultimate goal with Net Surfer Pro?
No.
Oh.
I'm just taking this to write off as a loss on my taxes. No, look, I came in here. I was gone the whole year because I think one of you stuffed me in a trunk of a car.
Ooh, yeah. I'm just gonna pull my collar here and look to the side.
Look, is there any way you can market this?
Huh. Okay.
Can you at least make money off of this whole... What would you call it?
This Dreamcaster with dreams.
I could give you a sample. You could go under as well. You could broadcast whatever you want.
You know what, actually? I have an idea.
Should we agree to that? Do you think it's okay to bring him in here?
You know what? What if instead of bringing him in here, we were to switch places with him? So we take both of our helmets and put both of them on him, so he has double the power. Too late, I've already
plugged him in.
Oh no!
I'm administering the chemicals.
Oh no! Oh gosh! It sounds like we might be stuck in here for a while yet. That's right.
Why can't I hear anything? Oh wait, no, there it is. There it is. I can hear you and you in the corner, but I can't hear
me in the spotlight.
Why is there a toilet?
Oh, yeah, so, boy, we're gonna have to explain quite a bit here. We're gonna have to catch you up on a lot.
What's this big pink ball that's rolling around?
Oh, yeah, so that's the Katamari, ball. That toilet was a Skibidi toilet.
Is this sewage?
Yeah, so,
Galen, I have a plan. I have a plan. Get him to go over to the present.
All right, I've got this idea. Yeah, we have the sewage there and the Katamari. We also have this big present.
Oh, like for me?
Yeah, we prepared it just as you were coming under.
You shouldn't have. You should have, actually.
Actually, yeah, we definitely should have.
All right, now push him in.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Now close it, okay, lock it.
Close it. All right. Taping it up. Hang on, I'm just gonna... That's the tape sound. And I'm sticking it onto the box here, okay? And I'm wrapping it in some more present wrap, and I'm putting a big bow on it.
All right, Bane, get us out of here.
Come on, Bane, pull us out.
I feel like you're doing something illegal, but you know what? I'm in no place to judge. I've definitely never been to any crime balls, but... You know, that's fine. You know what? Yeah, okay. Administering the wake-up chemical.
Oh, man. Oh.
Hold on. I suddenly feel the urge to grab a brush and put on a little makeup.
Right now, I'm feeling like P. Diddy, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to grab my glasses, come out the door, and hit the city, I think.
Sounds like a good time. You know, I think I'll join you, but first... I gotta say, thank y'all for listening. It means a lot that people listen to this dumb shit.
Yeah. Nah, yeah, thank you very much for listening. Whoever out there is listening, we have a lot of fun making this.
Yeah.
And we also have a lot of fun making specifically the, you know, look back at the years, the Net Surfies.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been another great year for the podcast.
Yeah, I would say. I think it's a good year for video games, good year for music. Maybe not the best year for movies. Good year for TV anime overall. Anime is a fantastic year.
Yeah.
There are some decent memes. It was actually kind of hard to make some of the choices on the meme of the year, which, by the way, you can find the VOD of that bracket on my second YouTube channel, Twax Vods and Ends.
Nice.
Go there. You can check out the VOD of the stream where we decided on the meme of the year. And also, you can see my other stream VODs there.
Nice.
And I guess let's go ahead and do plugs. You can find us on any podcasting platform you like. Give us a like, give us a rating, give us a review. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you'd want us to do in the future. Or if there's anything we should check out, just in general.
If there's any dreams we should have that you'd like to recommend. We have that technology.
If you think we should check out something on the Game Dreams.
Yeah. Oh, the Game Dreams. That's a good name for a console.
That's pretty good, yeah. So, is it called the Dreamcast because they had the fishing peripheral?
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're talking gibberish to me, I'm sorry.
You can find us on Twitter at NetSurferPro, and you can find us on Blue Sky.
Ooh!
Which I'm going to set up, so I'm just going to cut this part out and overdub it whenever we actually get it set up.
Understand.
Where you can find teasers on upcoming episodes using emoji as a little emoji puzzle, like something we talked about today.
Interesting. It's all coming full circle.
And then you can find me on Twitter at Twackaroo. You can find me on Blue Sky at twack.bluesky.social. And you can follow me on Twitch on twitch.tv/twack.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter, TikTok, and Blue Sky at Galen Wilson. That's at GALENWILS0N. You can append the .bsky.social to that for Blue Sky. I post my hot takes and sometimes videos of things. I've been trying to get back into making videos about topics on TikTok. You can find me on YouTube at The Only Galen on YouTube, and you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/machinegunvampire, where I do still intend to be streaming, although that's probably going to be a 2024 thing. But as for everything else, thank you very much for listening.
Like, legitimately, genuinely, no cap, on God, 100%, no kayfabe. Thank you very much for listening.
Yes, it's been a pleasure doing this.
It's Bran.
It's Bran. Anyway, let's go hit the city. I'm going to get a bottle of Jack first, but let's go hit the city.
Hey, this guy's not waking up.
All right, let's like very hit the city now. Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Go now.